Welcome back. Welcome back to the Responsibly Armed Citizen Show. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Horvath. Joined with me in studio is the fabulous Mr. Tim Kelly. Tim, how are you doing today?
Fantabulous, sir. How are you?
Fantabulous myself. Things are rocking and rolling. We are in the brand spanking new WSSC Studio A.
This place is nice.
It is looking very spiffy. The whole crew here, Ben, Justin, Joe, the whole mix, been doing a fantastic job of really making things look good and modernizing a little bit, and it's really coming along. I'm really starting to dig it.
Yeah, I kept hearing all these good stories. I mean, I dressed up for the occasion and everything. What's your excuse?
Yeah, so my running thing, right? That mm-hmm. is all Frank is I have same hoodie that I wear everywhere, all the time, every day. So usually, I go home and I'll take the hoodie off and I'll let it stand itself in the corner. And this morning,
so gross.
This morning I went to go grab my hoodie and my wife was like, "No, it needs a bath. The dog needs a bath. You need a bath. Go bath." And when I left the house, my hoodie wasn't ready. So yeah, that's my excuse. So I'm repping WSIC today. So I went ahead, just grabbed one of their shirts and threw it on, and here I am.
Nice.
So we have a fantastic show that we're going to talk about today. Just daily carry, right? Big picture stuff. For those of you who may not necessarily be in the know, we don't necessarily plan these out. These just happen. Minutes before. Yeah. We're like, what are we talking about today? So, the big picture daily carry is kind of like, what does that look like for responsible member citizen? What are and I think we're really going to focus on like gear. Gear etiquette. That's really the big thing. And this really came out of a conversation I was having with one of our friends yesterday. He was real interested in what my daily care was and the things that I have on my person and why I have things on my person. So I figured that might be a good conversation for us to have with our listening audience. So. Big picture daily carry, Tim. What are your thoughts on that?
So, I think we should kind of break this down into different components. One, what is your everyday lifestyle, right? Because we're not just talking about firearms here. We're not talking about just the gun that you carry on a daily basis. Because that matters very little when you start considering different contexts. People live in different environments and
work different places.
Different places. They need different tools.
Right.
So I think we should kind of look at the overall, like, what is the most common tools that most anyone, no matter what their restrictions are, what are the most common tools that they can carry with them for just daily tasks, right? Be it self-defense, be it, open an Amazon package, along those lines.
Yeah, and the difference between the two.
Right.
Or that they're supposed to be anyway, right. I guess. But yeah, so the, so immediately when I start thinking about, like your everyday carry, like most, your mind goes to, okay, with stuff, like what kind mm-hmm. of stuff's out there. But something else that I really feel like gets overlooked often is the skill set, right? So sure, you have the cool stuff, you have the cool guy stuff that you went and saw and bought, or you see somebody else that's running or YouTube or whatever it is, but do you have the skill set behind being able to use that tool, if you need to?
Right.
And I'm not talking super complex ninja skills or anything like that, but something as simple as OC spray.
Right.
Now people overestimate their ability to be able to deploy OC spray because they have not used a trainer or they haven't been with a instructor who's been able to guide them on the mechanics of utilizing OC spray.
Yeah.
It's easy to think about, okay, just pull this thing out of your pocket, press button, and go at bad guy. But there's a lot of other things like when the type of OC spray, is it a foam, is it a stream? Yeah. There's lots of little things to think about.
So yeah, since we're on the topic of pepper spray, let's talk about that for a moment. It reminds me, we've got a class that's not on our website yet, but I would expect to see it this next week. Dan Brady is actually going to be teaching an OC class in the beginning of May. So be on the lookout for that at apachenc.com/events. You can get in on that class. Now, when we're talking about pepper spray, I'd say one of the most common mistakes that people make, you know, whether or not they carry it every day or not, but what they'll likely do is go to a gas station and purchase some, you know, pepper spray
right.
that's, you know, labeled as the best pepper spray in the world, found in, you know, the Sheetz gas station or the truck stop or something like that.
Yep.
It's probably not. It's probably very, very low quality. So let's just use that for an example. If you happen to be that person that grabbed that pepper spray and that's what you carry around, I'd be willing to bet you most likely slapped it on your keychain.
Yep.
So you have your keychain and your keys, and what are some of the different issues that could, you know, that could possibly
manifest?
Yeah, could possibly manifest from carrying an adequate OC spray at that on your keys. You know, some of the considerations might be if you have kids at home. If you have kids at home, you toss your keys on the table when you come in. Kids get curious, start playing around with it, and I'm spraying themselves. Now, I ain't gonna kill them,
right?
But
it's going to be unpleasant.
It's going to be extremely unpleasant. And you as a parent will likely end up taking them to the hospital because you're going to right. be so afraid, you know. But do you know how to deal with those situations? If, you know, the inadequate pepper spray happens to have some type of negligent discharge
right.
and just blows up in your car or something like that because it was a hot day or whatever, right? Are you prepared with dealing with that type of situation?
Right.
Right. Do you know how to, you know, clean yourself up? Do you know how to get the stuff out of your eyes, you know, mm-hmm. or out of someone else's? You know, those are some of the different considerations there. Now, to steer away from getting yourself into a less lethal tool that is very low quality, I would strongly recommend you look at something like palm pepper spray. Palm pepper spray is very well known for its quality, and they have different size canisters. You have the little bitty one, and then you have the larger canister, the Mark III, I believe what it is.
Yep.
It's just going to have to depend on your lifestyle. Like what is it that you do every day? If you live on a farm out in the, you know, in the Western North Carolina or something like that, and bears are a thing, you might want to carry a bigger can of pepper spray around right. the farm. And right. it may not be a big deal if you're printing or something like that, or carrying it on the outside of your waistband or something, inside of a fanny pack, whatever. Having some type of, you know, a larger device might be better for larger crowds and stuff. But there again, if you're a nurse mm-hmm. in a hospital,
yep.
carrying that large can of OC, that's really not going to work out the best for you.
If they can even carry it in the first place.
Right.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of restrictions in a lot of places about, you know, what you can, you know, carry and can't carry.
Right.
So, you know, it's definitely something to consider.
Right.
But, you know, for that, you know, urban type area, for that mom who, you know, goes out for a run, or dad who goes out for a run or something like that, you know, if they're not going to be having some sort of other tool, you know, on the person, such as like a concealed carry or something like that.
Sure.
Think, you know, or, you know, if you're just, you know, adverse to the idea of having a concealed carry on your person for whatever reason, you know, I think a good compromise is definitely, you know, the OC spray, some sort of, you know, pepper spray, you know, something, right?
Right.
So, you know, just get some training. I mean, I think, you know, bottom line is, you know, think about, you know, what you're going to get, why you're going to get, buy quality. And then, you know, really take that and go from there. We're coming up on our break. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Responsibly Armed Citizen Show. My name is Tim Kelly, and with me I have Frank Horvath, and we have been talking about, well, big picture, daily carry. Like, what are some of the tools that you carry on a daily basis? Why do you carry them? What are some of the different considerations involving around those individual carry items? Now, the last segment, we talked a bit about pepper spray. I think we kind of hit on that enough. Let's move on and talk about blades. like the different types of blades and the reasons why you might carry a knife.
Yeah. So, excuse me. As far as blades go, I chunk them into two categories. Mm-hmm. I got self-defense and utility.
Yep.
They're not supposed to cross. You're supposed to have a self-defense knife and utility knife.
Right.
Or I say supposed. That for me in my world, the way that I operate. Unfortunately, sometimes they do cross. You know, for me personally, chalk it down to discipline or their lack thereof. If I loan out my blade, my utility knife or something like that, or if I, leave it at home or something like that, right? Just something, it's not on my person, loan out somebody, whatever it is. I almost always have my self-defense knife that's on my person because it's physically attached to my belt.
Right.
And so I'll occasionally whip that thing out and use it. I'm ashamed to say, but
it's a sharp object and it's going to open up what you need to open up.
Exactly. It's almost always an Amazon box or something like that. Right. Yeah. I chunk them in those two categories, right? So you have that tool, that specifically designed tool, right? With training attached to that for, using it in self-defense, right? So God forbid I ever had to, if for whatever reason, gun wasn't the right choice, insert reason why I have it there. But on the other side of that is the utilitarian factor. Like I open up a lot of things. I use a blade for a lot of different reasons as far as, stripping things, sharpening things, whatever it may be. And, that utilitarian type blade is fantastic. Like it's really my go-to.
I think the one of the things we needed to make sure we hit on here, and we're talking about a self-defense blade. We're not talking about like a folding knife or something along those lines. It's generally like a fixed blade, that doesn't have some type of opening device or anything like that. And if you're carrying one of those, one of the best ways to carry that statistically is center line. So having it somewhere on the center line of your body where you can access it, generally like inside of a clinch or something.
And protect it.
Right. Yeah. Right. And you can protect it. Yeah. Whereas a pocket knife is exactly that. It's a pocket knife. And you have to think about some of the different laws that govern those different items and, what's where it's permitted and where it's not permitted, that type of thing. But most of the time, you can get away with just a regular pocket knife and just about anywhere you go, right? So a standard pocket knife. I know there are some classes out there that talk about using a folding knife as a self-defense tool. And that's great. But I like your approach with this, having two different blades for two different purposes, one for self-defense, another one for utility. I know this much. I always carry a utility knife of some sort. Like I may not always have a self-defense blade on me, but if I've got pants on, I've got a knife in my pocket. But how long have you been carrying a pocket knife?
Right.
Like I've been carrying a pocket knife since I was a kid.
Yep.
So as far as like using one of those, to whittle or to open a box, I think I've already possessed the skills enough to be able to accomplish those things. But when you start talking about self-defense tool, whether it be with a folder or a fixed blade knife, you should definitely be seeking out some training because there's a lot of misunderstandings there.
Yeah. And something else is, the mental aspect of that. Something that a lot of people don't understand or don't realize, right, until they're exposed to it, especially, again, under the supervision of an instructor or something like that, is just how up close and personal, using a blade in self-defense really is.
Right.
It's messy. You're going to need a bath afterwards.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be, something, significant. But it's going to accomplish what you need it to accomplish if you have the right training, if it's, the right time, right place, right tool.
Right. Right. It can be a very, very useful tool. And, I hear a lot of people talk about, carrying a knife for self-defense, but they've never done any type of grappling. They've never done any type of, maybe get in like some jiu-jitsu or something like that and then tossed a little rubber knife into the mix to see all the different complications that come along with this. I mean, I can't tell you just how, how uneasy it made me feel fighting somebody with a notional blade on them.
Right.
And, the whole idea of, if you're in a knife fight, expect to get cut. Like, Those are serious things. And expecting to get cut doesn't, it's not the same thing as getting a paper cut, man.
Right.
One cut, depending on the location, could end your life.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, it's not always the best go-to. And unfortunately, I know a lot of people who use that as their last resort. And I don't know that that's a really good, you know, a good practice to have.
Time and place, right?
Right.
It depends. You know, there may be instances and, you know, specific scenarios where, you know, that firearm, if you even have it on and about your person, may not be the best tool for the job.
Right.
Right? That blade might be.
Right.
Craig Douglas is who comes to my mind when it comes to anything around, you know, a blade, any sort of, you know, physical, like man-on-man type stuff. He has some fantastic stuff that's out there. Even if you can't go and, like, take a course directly from him, he has this whole, like, video catalog of stuff on the Warrior Poet Network that is fantastic. Go get a buddy. Go play.
They actually just launched their own. They're very,
oh, that's right. Yeah.
And so I just got into that, so I haven't got a chance to dabble with it too much.
Yeah.
But he's really moving in the general direction of doing a lot of online teaching. So if you don't know where that's at, that's shivworks.com, and go check out some of their products. They have all kinds of different blades. I actually just ordered a new tool from them. Did you see that?
The tool.
Not that it looks like. It's a tool. Anyway, go check it out if you want to know what I'm talking about. Anyway, shivworks.com. That's shivworks.com. So other than blades and knives that you carry for every day. Well, first, before we move on, let's hit briefly on when you can carry a knife and when you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you have, depending on your line of work, right? If you're a janitor or something like that, carrying a pocket knife is no big deal, right? And I'd wager to bet that you could probably get away with carrying a knife for self-defense. It depends.
It depends if you're in a school. It depends if you're in a hospital. I mean, right. there's a lot of different, you know, the scenarios that really break out there. But excuse me. But the whole thought of you know where you can carry it and you know different places it changes for everybody, right?
Right.
So it changes for your line of work. The thing for me and the reason why I carry too is again I work all over the place. I'm not in very many restricted places, but also I've established this routine of, you know, what I wear, how I wear, it's me,
right?
I'm not doing anything fancy, not doing anything different. And I'm able to work around just what I'm comfortable with, right? Mm-hmm. In my daily. Just like what we were talking about before with the OC spray. Now I got little kids at the house,
right?
So I can't just, you know, drop my pants and just have my stuff, you know, wherever. I really have to, you know, make sure that stuff's up because, you know, my son Max, you know, little guy, he's what, 5'4" now, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that if he were to find that sharp pokey thing, he'd be all about it.
Yeah.
He's really turned into a little bam bam right now.
Yeah.
But, there's lots of things there to consider.
Yeah. All right. So moving on, what are some of the other things that you carry on a daily basis? I mean, I carry my phone, I carry my car keys, I carry all types of different stuff. How about medical?
Yeah.
What is it that you have on your person all the time?
A pen. Sharpies.
Okay. A pen? Well, we were talking about medical.
Tourniquet.
Do you carry a tourniquet? Okay. Yeah. So I carry a tourniquet with me everywhere. And I would say if there's one thing that you're going to be permitted to carry in pretty well, no matter your employment, medical gear is something that you can carry on a daily. That's one of the easiest things to carry. And it's probably one of the most useful items that you could have in an emergency.
Yep.
Right. So at the very least, having a tourniquet. But I mean, you could go as far as carrying an entire trauma kit on your person and it not be in the way.
Yeah. The ankle rigs. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a number of those that as far as just medical stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. We have some people that, you know, and I dabbled with it. It wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. It with the pants that I wear and with, you know, the just shoes I normally have on, it was cumbersome.
Yeah.
But we have other people that we interact with who wear like those ankle type, you know, tourniquet med kits, like, you know, the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those can be effective, you know, but with anything, you know, being in a routine, making sure that you're constantly having, you know, those tools and you're in practice of, you know, always having that on you.
Yeah.
You know, is really the biggest piece of that.
Yeah, definitely. So I would say, let's, for instance, I know it doesn't look like it, but I was on a tractor this morning.
Yeah.
You know, bush hogging a field.
Businessman.
Yeah.
Brush hogging in suit.
Different hats, man of many hats. But carrying a med kit out there when you're running a tractor, pretty important.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you don't have something like that on you, I mean, you know, we live around a ton of pine trees. I mean, it's the possibility of a pine tree falling on you when you're mowing next to an edge of a tree line somewhere.
It's not zero.
It's not zero.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so you got to be careful, especially in a windy day. Branches. I got caught up in some briars yesterday and it just ripped me apart. And, you know, there's a possibility you can grab your tractor, pull you right into it, and really mess you up. So at least having some gauze on you to clean yourself up and that type of thing. It's really important. So carrying a med kit on your person, keeping it inside your vehicle, on your tractor, or anytime you're running a chainsaw or something along those lines, man, really, I think that's probably one of the most important things somebody could do is invest some time, get in some decent medical training, and get into some decent medical gear and start keeping it on them whenever they're out in public doing their daily things.
Yeah, I mean, you're more likely going to come across somebody who needs a tourniquet than you're going to need somebody who's going to need a projectile sent their way.
For sure.
Right? So, you know, med for sure. Med's definitely something that, you know, should take priority and you should go get training. You know, there's plenty of places out there to do that. We're on the Responsive Armed Citizen Show. We're here with Tim Kelly and Frank Horvath. We're talking about all things Responsive Armed Citizen should know. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Responsibly Armed Citizen Show. We are having a fantastic conversation about everyday carry, responsible carry. We talked about OC spray. We talked about blades. We talked about a little bit about medical. Man, we're missing the big one, right? The thing that everyone immediately goes to, their guns.
Yes.
So, Tim, what are some thoughts when it comes to firearms? Because I have some opinions here. Like I got some big brain thoughts about this.
So what's the common practice? The common practice for most folks is carry the biggest gun you can with all the ammo you can everywhere you go.
That's right.
I mean, I'm not saying that that's necessarily wrong by any means. But I don't know if that really fits everybody.
Right.
You know, because I've tested this before. I can carry a Glock 17 and jogger shorts and go for a run.
Yep.
It's not the most comfortable, though. And I don't know that I really need all of that. It can be really, really distracting.
Yeah.
You know, cause some hot spots, stuff like that.
Right.
It's just not necessary.
You know, the biggest thing is, you know, especially when it comes to like your everyday carry, you know, firearms, you know, obviously training, we hype that all the time, you know, train with, you know, whatever you have. But, man, if it's not comfortable, you're not going to wear it.
Right.
Right. And that's such a big thing. You know, people, it comes up a conversation or something like that. Right. They're saying, you carry your gun that way. Isn't that uncomfortable? Aren't you worried about this? Right. There's all these like, you know, concerns about it. But after you start carrying and you, have that discipline to doing it the same way, you know, each and every time and making sure you're doing whatever you need to do to make it comfortable for you so that, you know, it's not constantly hurting you or digging into you or whatever it may be. So, you know, for a couple of different reasons, you know, behaviorally, you're not picking at it. You're not even touching it. You're not thinking about it unless you need it or you're doing an administrative task or something like that.
Right.
You know, but at first, like when you first put that tool on, that firearm on, like, it is going to be a little uncomfortable.
Right.
It's different. It's new. So you're going to want to touch it. You're going to want to dig. You're going to want to move things around. But that's where, you know, getting into a quality gear, getting into an appropriate sized gun is paramount.
Yeah.
You know, I can't tell you how many times when we've had somebody that came on the range, we'll say a spouse, right? Typically the wife, you know, of the relationship will come and she'll bring this big honking heavy revolver and this, you know, like, you know, very uncomfortable holster, and she doesn't know what to do because right. there's not much she can do. You know, that's right. you know what she was given.
Yeah, I mean, it really boils down to finding a gun that fits your way of life.
Right.
You know, what your daily life is like. You know, your and my lifestyles are very, very similar in the aspects of, I don't go to many places where I'm restricted on carrying, you know, firearms.
Right.
I do a lot of moving around, you know, a lot behind the car, sometimes a lot behind the desk and that type mm-hmm. of thing. But I don't venture off too far, right? So my lifestyle promotes pretty much whatever handgun I want.
Right.
You know, like I could, if I can carry it on me, it doesn't matter what size it is or anything like that. I can carry whatever I want. But whenever I get dressed up for a special occasion or something, and I have to wear a suit and tie, carrying my full-size Glock, it's going to be a lot more difficult.
It's a challenge.
It is most definitely a challenge. And it's honestly, it's not worth it. So you have to be able to balance those things out. Like, for the purpose of concealment, we want to be able to hide the gun, and we don't want anybody suspecting you of carrying a gun.
Right.
Right? That's kind of the purpose of this. One of the biggest advantages you have with, you know, concealing a handgun is nobody knows you have it.
Right.
Right. And you don't want to give that up. So I have to take this morning, for instance, I was on a tractor carrying a full size Glock. And before I got dressed up into this, I had to dress more fancy. So I put on a deep concealment holster mm-hmm. with a smaller handgun. Now, let's consider some of the changes on the gun that I made, right? So that full-size Glock has a closed emitter optic, which mm-hmm. means that the emitter on the red dot is not going to be blocked by any debris or, you know, if there's moisture or something
dust,
like that.
Whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. I'm on a bush hog, so that might be important.
Right.
Right. So that's the reason why I was carrying that particular gun. Now, the gun that I have now is more of a lower profile gun. It does have an open emitter optic, but I'm not worried about getting dust and debris inside of it mm-hmm. right now. You know, so I can trim down a little bit when you start considering the environment that you're in.
Right.
And I think more people need to think about that whenever they're choosing a handgun to carry around on a daily basis. They have to think about what their lifestyle is really like and tailor their gun to fit that lifestyle. Don't try and do it the other way around.
Right.
That's not what we want. I mean, we want you to be able to live your life, you know, and you don't have to be consumed in this, you know, 24/7.
Yeah, and really consider putting ego aside. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of, I mean, if you get on the internet, it's still a hot debate, you know, 45 versus 9mm, right? Mm-hmm. So do I want to use God's round or do I want to use some puny, you know, metric round? Come on. It's you know, the modern ballistics, that's a non-existent conversation now. It's supposed right. to be anyway. But, you know, you still got people out there who argue it to the death. But, well, that's fine. You do you. But are you hindering yourself or hindering others by perpetuating that, you know, this bigger, stronger, heavier projectile is doing any more work than
right.
something else?
Right.
You hear that argument a lot with like the 357s, right? Oh, you have to carry a 357. Well, not necessarily. I mean, there's plenty of other calibers. There's especially with modern ballistics. Now, you know, in a different day and age, I might concede to that idea.
Right.
But today's age, with modern ballistics, there's not a whole lot of difference.
Yeah.
There's really not.
Right.
You know, and you know, I'll argue that with almost any centerfire cartridges, right. almost, with some exceptions. But you know, the thing is, like, find what fits you, what fits your hand, what fits your personality, right? And train with it. You know, right. I can't stress that enough. There are some small snappy guns. The 43X, right? The Glock model 43. You know, some of the other, what's it, the SIG, the 365.
Yeah.
That, to be honest, it feels almost like holding on to a popsicle stick when you're shooting those things. You have right. to have a lot of recoil control, a lot of recoil, you know, management skills, you know, put in place. But if you just, but it fits a lot of smaller hands mm-hmm. very well. And, you know, because of that, you know, think, okay, this fits my hand. This is going to be good for me. You should probably go get on the range sometime and you need to actually cycle that gun.
Right.
Because, man, the recoil on those smaller guns can be abusive.
Right.
They really can be. And you know, I've met a lot of people who just, they don't consider that. They're like, oh, this fits me. This is perfect. I can stick this in my pocket. I can, you know, go about, you know, do my, you know, whatever I need to. And they don't actually fire or practice or train with that particular handgun. They're in for a rude awakening.
Right.
You know, if they, you know, ever do need to use it.
For sure.
Because again, they can be little peppy little monsters.
Well, we've talked about pepper spray. We've talked about blades. We've talked about medical gear. We've talked about guns. Let's talk about, for each one of those, when is it really appropriate to put them to use, or, you know, bring them out, show them, right? Starting with the pepper spray. When's it all right? When is it socially acceptable to handle and play around with a can of pepper spray, live agent pepper spray?
So for me, in my world, when I am trying to like educate somebody or inform somebody about, you know, what I carry, why I carry it, where I carry it, things like that, like I'll do like a show and tell. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not just like throwing it in their hands and saying, hey, press this button and close your eyes. Like, you know, sure. there's some like, you know, etiquette there. But you know, I do bring it out a little more often than most because I'm like, hey, take a look at this. You should consider mm-hmm. this. You're concerned about, you know, carrying a firearm or a blade, but have you thought about maybe carrying something like this? You know, that is a good, that's a real quick go-to for me. So right. I'm a little more flippant, I guess,
sure.
is the word, with you know, sharing that with other people.
And you know, I'd agree with that. I don't think that there's anything you know, bad etiquette wise or anything unsafe or socially unacceptable with, you know, pulling out a can of you know, palm pepper spray and showing somebody like, hey, check this out. It's about the size of a, you know, tube yep. of chapstick. You can carry it on you everywhere you go, as a selling point or something like that. They have a safety on the trigger,
yep.
right? If you actually use the thing and have practiced with it, you know that there are certain steps you're going to have to take in order to make this thing actually activate,
right?
Right. And at the risk factor here too, if something were to happen, the worst thing that happens is we get some pepper in our eyes.
Yep.
Right.
And it's uncomfortable.
And it's uncomfortable, right? It's not like you're going to kill somebody, you right. know? Now how about, and we talked about two different types of blades. When is it socially acceptable to bring in specifically the self-defense tool, but also the utility knife, right?
So for me in my world, I will very rarely unsheath my self-defense blade, you know, in like a public space or what, you know, mm-hmm. amongst friends or something like that. Usually what I'll do is, you know, I'll pull my shirt back and I'll describe it or talk about what I'm doing or something like that, but very rarely will I actually take it out and use it unless I'm breaking my own rule and using it to code a box or something like that. Now on the utility knife side, I'm way more open with using that. Like, sure. you know, a buddy or somebody needs to borrow a knife or something like that, then I'm, yeah, man, here you go. I'm going to throw it at their head. But, right. but, you know, again, you know, the growing up, you know, you always have that knife in your pocket, so it's a lot more easy to, you know, share that around or
it's socially appropriate.
Socially appropriate,
right? Yep. Yeah, definitely. And medical gear, I think that kind of goes without saying. Like, it's not there's no dangers there or anything like that by pulling out a, you know, pack of gauze or, you know, thing of trauma shears or a tourniquet or something like that. There's nothing socially bad there. What I really want to get to, when is it socially acceptable to talk to people about and show them your concealed carry?
I honestly can't think of a reason in public.
Anyway. Right.
You know, there are really even in private. Like there's not, you know, I think it's a big social faux pas at the minimum. Not to mention, you know, the safety issues of that, of, you know, of showing people that, doing that. Now, if I'm trying to do, and again, in an instructional type format, like if I'm trying to say, hey, this is the way that I carry, I'm not unholstering my firearm, I'm not waving it around, I'm not handing it to anybody else. You know, I think that may be a little bit different. But as far as like in a public space, if I'm, you know, out and about, you know, I'm not using that firearm to intimidate. I'm not using it to deter.
Right.
If it's coming out of its holster, if I'm showing it, it is because I feel like I need to use lethal force then and now.
Right. Well, I'd really like to talk about this a little bit more. We got a break coming up, but I've got some stories I want to share of just some instances where I've run across this issue. Yeah, so when we get back from the break, let's talk about it.
All right.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Responsibly Armed Citizens Show. My name is Tim Kelly, and with me I have Frank Horvath.
Woo-hoo.
Today we have been talking about the big picture of daily carry and how that pertains to the responsibly armed citizen. So we've talked about different tools, we've talked about different, you know, quality of tools, and we've talked about you know, various things, everything from pepper spray to medical to knives to guns. And when we left in the last segment, we were talking about when it's appropriate to bring those items into conversation, both like vocally and physically. And I think we left off with the guns, right? So this is kind of something that really stands out to me a lot. I actually spent a short period of time working at a gun store. It just didn't work out for me. I'll just say that.
Yeah, you're not much of a salesman.
I'm not much of a salesman. You're right. I'm a little too blunt. But in terms of you know, some of the people that would come into these stores, some of them were very, very quick to show you the gun that they were carrying, just their egos invested in it, whatever. They're so proud of right. the gun that they're carrying. Hey, check out the gun I'm carrying. And man, some of them even pull it out of the holster right there in the store, you know. And I can't tell you like how uneasy that makes me feel around that. And I can't imagine how that would make somebody else feel who doesn't have any knowledge about firearms,
right?
Doesn't have a whole lot of knowledge about firearms. And that might be a huge turn away, you know, for them. Like, man, this is not the community I want to be around.
Right.
And I think that's something that we really need to pay more attention to and be more deliberate about when and where it is socially appropriate to both talk about the gun that we're carrying and show and present it.
Right.
And I think it's, I just think it's really important. There's another example. I walked into my local barber shop and to go get a haircut one day, and this has been years ago. And I noticed a friend of mine was in there. And my friend had seen me across the room. Now this place is packed, right? I mean, there's a ton of people in there. And he calls me out by name. He's like, hey, man, hey, did you get my Facebook message? And I'm thinking to myself, man, I don't recall, you know, what you got. He's like, well, I sent you one about this holster. Did you get that one? And I was like, no, I don't remember. And I'm kind of looking around at everybody and they're listening to us talk.
Right.
And he's like, oh, no worries. I got it right here. And he starts to like show me. He stands up in front of everybody and he's showing everybody his gun and everybody his holster. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my gosh. It's like, oh yeah. I got that message. I got that message. You put that away now, right? But he wanted to show me his holster so bad that he was willing to essentially give himself and give his concealment away just to show me. And you know, I'm sure it made some people in there uneasy. You know, it certainly made me uneasy.
Right.
It's not. There is an appropriate time and place if you're amongst friends, right?
Right.
Like it would be no big deal for me to tell you how I'm carrying today and show you or something like that.
Right.
But even amongst friends, I'm not going to stand in front of you and unholster my gun to show you, hey, check out my new gun.
It's a safety and etiquette thing. I mean, that's and you know, and that's the thing. Like, there's you know, safety is a skill set. We've talked about that before. You know, etiquette's definitely something that you end up learning. But you know, you. If you know, you were to do that, like hypothetically, if you were to do that, if you were to just stand in front of me and, you know, draw your firearm and be like, hey man, check this out. Like I would be offended and I'd be pissed. Like I'd be upset. Right. But you know, think about, you know, somebody else who isn't necessarily in this realm, right? Somebody who isn't or is new to firearms, we'll say, right? And never been exposed to them. Man, their gut reaction is probably going to be fear.
Right.
Like they're not going to understand why you're unholstering a firearm, right, in their presence. And, you know, that's not a good way, not for the responsible armed citizen to introduce somebody to firearms.
Right.
You know, I've been to other people's homes before and they're, you know, they hear that I'm a gun guy or something like that. And they're like, oh, Frank, come here. I want to show you this out. Part of me enjoys that, but the other part of me loathes that.
Right.
It depends on the individual.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to check out your collection, but at the same time, I don't want you showing me your collection.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
one of the first things that we start on, with our responsibly armed citizen criterion. So, you know, for those of you that are new to the show, and don't know Apache Solutions, we do, personal training, at our range. So that's kind of our bread and butter. People come out and they sign up for a 1 hour block of instruction or a 2 hour block of instruction, and we help them establish goals and then help them meet their goals along the way. So that's kind of, you know, what makes us, sets us apart, right, from the rest of the folks. And one of the first things we start people on when they start coming out there, no matter their level of experience, no matter their skill set or anything like that, we start teaching them safety and etiquette, right, and how to navigate those different boundaries. I don't spend a lot of time doing private sessions anymore. You know, right, gone are the days that, well, at least to my knowledge, they're going to be gone are the days where I teach 900 private sessions in a year, you know. Yeah. Now we've got instructors out on the range that are out there teaching the private sessions now.
Thank God.
And they're killing it. And you know how I know they're killing it? I had one of our students come in the other day. He walked into the office, talked to me about a gun that he was thinking about buying.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm ready to place the order. And I've been using someone else's gun.
Mm-hmm.
And he's asked me to leave it here in your possession until he comes by this afternoon to pick it up. And I was like, yeah, sure, man, no problem. He's like, I said, do you have it on you? And he says, no. He said, I left it in the car. I said, okay, does it have a case? And he says, no. And I just kind of want your permission to be able to bring it in. I'm like, yeah, sure. Does it have anything? He said, it's in a holster. I said, okay, so leave it in the holster. He said, it's unloaded too. I was like, okay, great. So it's in the holster, unloaded in your car. He said, yeah. So he went out to the car, he grabbed his handgun and he brought it in, but he was not going to bring that in without first letting me know first. That's more of an etiquette thing.
Right.
That's 100%. That's like leaving your dog in the car before you go to somebody's, you know, house that you've never been to,
right,
and saying, hey, can I get my dog with me? Is it okay if I bring it in the house?
Right.
You know, something along those lines. Yep. Right. I mean, there's these boundaries here that you should be, as a professional, as a responsibly armed citizen, that you should be trying to, you should be striving to navigate professionally.
You know, right? And uphold, right? Inform others in our community about, you know, this is the way that it should be done. And I'm not saying lockstep, you know, I'm not saying, you know, subscribe to the dogma or anything like that. But, you know, if we're ever going to break through the barrier where people are fearful of these tools, right? Fearful of firearms in general. Then, you know, we as a community need to do better at having some better etiquette so that we're not instilling this fear, you know, needlessly early on.
Right.
You know, if we can say, hey, look, we're responsibly armed citizens, we're a community of responsibly armed citizens, then we will be, you know, by osmosis or something, be bringing in other responsibly armed citizens, you know, just through our actions.
Right. Well, man, if we're not too careful, we're going to forget about our competency of the month. So we should probably jump on that.
I think
we got about 4 minutes left, so might as well hammer on what we got. So first off, competency of the month is something that we put together every month, and we talk about different subjects, different competencies, and challenge everybody to learn more about that subject. So it originally started out as like an in-house project to encourage some of our instructors and our apprentices as they're coming up to, you know, if we run across a subject that you don't know a whole lot about, then do the research and challenge yourself on it. So now we're challenging our audience to do the same. So this month's competency of the month has been home defense strategies. And since we've been talking about daily carry, let's talk about how daily carry and home defense strategies kind of mold in, right? So one of the things that I like to carry on my person all the time is a light, a good handheld light. And I think that is something that's really, really important to keep inside or keep on you all the time, because you might need it.
Right.
And so since a lot of these home invasions and stuff like that, these encounters happen shortly after you come home from the grocery store or something along those lines or in between, right?
Mm-hmm.
Having a light on you when it's dark outside or something like that, it might be a really, really good idea.
I 100% absolutely agree with that. For me, I tend to use my light not so much, self-defense or anything like that, but it's more of a utilitarian aspect. So, like, I'm constantly going, I got it right here in my pocket. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly going to this flashlight for different things.
Mm-hmm.
So this Streamlight, that's the ProTech HLX, and then, again, it's a bigger light. I'm constantly using it, rechargeable batteries, all that fun stuff. But it's absolutely indispensable.
Right?
It's another one of those, non-pokey, non-stabby things that's in your tool belt that, you use all the time.
Right.
Identify what you're, potentially, identify what's going on. Identify what's going on outside, whatever it may be.
Right. And I mean, we could talk all day about light, stuff like that. And if I was going to do that, I would say, let's call Dan.
Let's call Dan and
Zach Halstead and see if we can't have a conversation about it. Maybe we should do that in a later show to talk about low light. I think that'd be a great idea. But another reason why, carrying every day is so important. Like I joke around and say, if my socks are on, my gun is on.
Yeah.
Right. That's relatively true. I wake up in the mornings and before the doors are unlocked in the house, my gun is on me. Mm-hmm. Right. And the same thing in reverse, when I come home, at night or whatever, my gun doesn't come off unless the house is locked up. Right. And so if we're talking about home defense strategies and best practices, I would encourage you to do the same. Like if you just got home is the first thing that happens shouldn't be take your gun off and put it on the nightstand or lock it up or something like that. Shouldn't be the first thing that you do. The first thing that you should do is make sure that your home is hardened first.
Right.
Meaning the doors are locked, everything is the way it should be.
Right.
Right. Right before you're about to go to bed. That is before that is when it's okay for you to go ahead and take your gun off of your person.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And then, the big piece of that is, not constantly living in the state of, somebody's going to break in the house.
Yeah.
Right. So you need to have a place. You need to have a safe space. You need to have a place where you can decompress and not be so concerned that there's going to be a whole lot that's going on. So harden your home so that it will be difficult for somebody to, enter it without permission or go from there.
Yeah. Awesome, man. I really enjoyed the show today.
Yeah, man. It's been an absolute blast. You're listening to the Responsible Armed Citizens Show. We appreciate you guys joining along with us, and we'll see you next week.
Sounds good. See you next week.